on AM 930 WEOL.
A little bone crusher on a Friday afternoon, and that means it's time for us to talk hoops with Joel Hammond of the Chronicle-Telegram, who is patiently standing by. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Joel, how are you, my friend?
Andy, I'm doing very well. How are you today?
So far, so good, partner. We appreciate the time, as always, and we're having you on for the second time this week because the last time we talked, we just kind of ran out of time. We had so much fun talking about the story you put together on Lorraine's Devon Grant and how opposing teams have kind of approached the idea of at least trying to defend him, and then we got into some Division I and Division II matchups. We didn't even get a chance to scratch the surface on D3, so we'll do that here today. And I want to get in to Division III specifically to start things off here. We've got Elyria Catholic's game tonight. They take on Crestwood this evening. Joel, we'll start with this. How much do you think EC's extraordinarily tough regular season schedule could help them out come tournament time?
Yeah, it's going to help them out a ton, Andy. And you know, this goes back to Phil Kupta before Rob Palmer. And this is why they do this, right? They're not looking to, although this year they also managed to win the GLC in addition to playing a really good schedule also. But this is why they do it, right? They're looking ahead to tournament time, and if they can win a conference championship along the way, they'll do that. But, I mean, you know, they went through that stretch that we talked about ad nauseum, really, early in the year with Vermilion and then Rocky River, and they lost to Glen Oak, and they lost to Triway, and they mixed in a win against Keystone, but then they lost to Fairview and St. Ignatius. They lost 6-7. You know, we asked Rob Palmer what was the message during that. You know, it's easy for us to say that, oh, yeah, they're playing a really tough schedule, so this is, you know, all part of it. But if you're a 17-year-old kid and, you know, you're getting your head beat in, you know, for 6 out of 7 games, it's probably natural to say, hey, what are we doing here? So the message was stay the course, and they looked at some numbers, and, you know, they had a really difficult schedule, and they stressed that, and they rebounded by winning. You know, we discussed this, but they 3-4, and you know, got the numbers somewhere. But they, you know, they closed the year basically winning 9 of 12. So they had a really strong finish to the season, and they'll have their opener tonight, like you said, against Crestwood. And I fully expect them to move on and face Warrenville Heights in the district semi.
You mentioned on Monday that this is really kind of a little top-heavy, this Garfield Heights district. And for those that haven't had a chance to see the 2 seed in Warrensville Heights or the top seed in Lutheran East, what is it that makes those teams so good and thus makes this particular district so top-heavy?
Yeah, I mean, Lutheran East, you know, I wrote in the Devon Grant story that I saw them against Lorraine a couple weeks back. You know, they gave Lorraine a really tough test. They lost by 8 early in the year in December. And then, you know, they were down 2 starters a couple weeks ago, and they were in the game against Lorraine again. So Lutheran East is really good. They've had a really strong run the last few years. They've got E.J. Farmer, one of the best guards in the area. I was really impressed by one of their big guys, Nehemiah Benson, who had 32 against Lorraine. You know, you score 32 against Tavon Pierre-Lewis and Lorraine, and you're doing pretty darn well. So that's Lutheran East. Then you look at Warrensville Heights, and they've kind of been up and down, but they beat Cleveland Central Catholic. They beat Garfield Heights. They beat Cleveland Heights once. They gave St. Vincent St. Mary a run. So they've had a really good year, too. They're 13-9. So EC will definitely be tested against the Tigers and the district semi, presuming both get there, which I fully expect. And then, if you know, again, EC, if they get to a district final against Lutheran East, they'll be tested. Whether they have the talent to compete with Lutheran East, that remains to be seen, but they'll certainly have tested themselves to this point and prepped themselves as much as possible.
Prepping yourself as much as possible, as you alluded to earlier, I think it's easy for us to sit here and say, hey, they played a tough schedule against a bunch of really good teams in order to prepare them for this point. But you're right. I think it's different to see how 17 and 18-year-old and some degree 16-year-old kids handle that. How much of a chance do you think we could realistically give EC against those top 2 seeds in this bracket, the 2 teams you just discussed in Warrensville Heights and Lutheran East?
Yeah, I would say Elyria Catholic would be considered mild underdogs. I wouldn't say heavy underdogs, but they're certainly underdogs going into either one of those games. Again, Warrensville Heights has a couple really good players. They've had a really good year. Again, winning 13 games against the Lake Erie League and some of the non-conference teams they play. it should be considered a success. And so I think they'd be an underdog against Warrensville Heights. They'd be a bigger underdog against Lutheran East just because, the Falcons have had an unbelievable year. They've got three really good players in Farmer, who I mentioned, Benson, who I mentioned, and then Jay Billingsley is their second option. EC is going to be underdogs. But again, you've got Branson Taylor inside and Jaron Logan, who's a really good player, Edward Wright and David Griffin and Jack Griffin in the backcourt. They've got the talent to compete. And, frankly, EC has had some tough luck in these tournaments. They were in it against Warrensville Heights last year, against Beachwood in the district semi last year and fell short. They've had some tough luck. And, one of these years, something's got to go right for them. And, who knows, maybe this is the year.
Joel Hammond with the Chronicle-Telegram joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We're talking some high school hoops, and I want to dive into Division IV, my friend. This should be one heck of a district, the Norton District, which locally, of course, includes teams like Columbia Still Alive and Open Door. We will have both of those games coming up a little bit later on tonight, WEOL.com Stream 2. Dalton taking on Columbia, and then Matt Douglas is headed over to Open Door. And boy, those are two really fascinating studies, I think, because a Division IV, if they both win tonight, they are going to face each other next week as well. There's so much intrigue with those two teams, senior-laden clubs, and I think that particular matchup could be the most intriguing in the area, including all divisions, if indeed they both win tonight.
Yeah, when you look at this district, so Richmond Heights went 16-6 and ran the table in the Chagrin Valley Conference, but the CVC is probably a little bit down this year. And then you look at the first round results, Andy. So Tioga Heights beat Columbia to end the season. The Redskins beat Columbia by one, and then Tioga Heights was upset in the first round by Mapleton. Now Mapleton, the 12th seed, has to play Richmond, the 4th seed. It's really even district. And you look at, who knows what happens tonight with Cornerstone Christian and Richmond Heights. You guys mentioned last week, or maybe in the paint show this week. Cornerstone Christian won one game. They went 1-21 and beat Overland in the first round. And now they get a chance at Richmond Heights. And Cornerstone Christian, despite that record, has some talent on their team. They lost a lot after a deep run last year. But, they've got talent. So that's the top half. And then, the bottom half, Open Door, so Columbia played Dalton tonight. Open Door beat up on Dalton a couple weeks ago in their last little stretch. So I fully expect Columbia to beat Dalton tonight. And, let's see, Open Door plays the 11th seed, which upset the 6th seed. Kendrick Central Christian beat Hartville Lake Center Christian. And so now, really, Open Door should advance to play Columbia. And we've talked about it at length. That first game between Columbia and Open Door earlier this year, Columbia won by 17. Todd Wright was telling me, the Open Door coach was telling me that Columbia shot like 28 free throws or maybe Open Door was whistled for like 28 fouls. He had three guys foul out. I think he's looking forward to getting another shot based on that game. But that game, Andy, was tied at halftime, and Columbia outscored Open Door by 17 in the third. So I have no doubt Open Door is looking to get another shot, and really Columbia thinks it matches up really well against Open Door too. So that'll be a really highly anticipated matchup. That would be Tuesday at Norton.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you, Joel. I mean, we kind of followed your top five all year, and Open Door made their way into it at the end of the year. What was it about Open Door at the end of the season that made you think, okay, this is a top five team in Lorain County?
Yeah, they won 16 in a row, right? Towards the end of the year, they frankly, shockingly, had that run snapped in the Laker-Fec Conference Final against Andrews Osborne. Now, that was a game in which they played five games in 8 days. They played Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Tuesday, or Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Tuesday. So they were weary at that point. Their legs were tired at that point. So, they had a really good run. Would they lose four games all year? I think they won 18-4. Really good, and those losses, guys, they were to Columbia, and they were to
Euclid,
right, Euclid. Yeah. They lost by two. We talked about that, Andy. They lost by two to Euclid, which is a really good team in the Greater Cleveland Conference, which is the same league that Elyria won two games in this year. So really strong year by Open Door. And, Columbia, Matt, was in there all year. And, again, it would be really fun. It's first of all, it's cool to see two Division IV schools showing up in that top five. And then you know, potentially getting that matchup in the district semi will be really fun if it happens. Hopefully it does.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think the other loss for Open Door was Avon, and then Columbia. I think the only game they really weren't in was one against Fairview kind of late in that season. So, yeah, that'll be super exciting if those two squads meet up again.
Yep.
Yeah, no question about that. That'll be an absolute blast. All right, Joel, taking a look at the matchups tomorrow, Division One. You know, I think if you look at the numbers and if you follow this the way that we have throughout the course of the season, it's awfully tough to see anybody but Lorain coming out of this district. And I, you know, that's why they play these things. But you have Elyria taking on Avon tomorrow night. Also, you know, we're covering Berea Mid-Park at Lorain at WEOL.com stream 2. As you look at these matchups, and I guess more specifically Elyria taking on Avon tomorrow, are there some interesting matchups in here that you take a look at that you think might be at least a little bit surprising? Because, again, you look at this thing on paper, it's just so hard to see anybody but Lorain coming out of that district.
Yeah, I think the best matchup, like you said, in the sectional finals is for sure Avon Elyria. You know, Avon's got guys that on the wing that are really solid. You know, Jake Parker, Dean Emmerine, and those guys are really solid for Avon. They beat up on North Olmsted in the first round, which you expected them to. Elyria kind of exercised some demons against Strongsville. You know, we outlined in Thursday's paper just how often that Elyria had seen Strongsville. This is their ninth matchup in the last 3 years, so I think they're fine with just surviving and advancing this Strongsville. And you know, listen, Avon's going to have to somehow contend with Caleb Rogers and Marshawn Robinson in the Pioneer backcourt. And you know, I think Elyria's got a good chance to, yeah, I don't know if it's an upset, but by seed it is, to advance and then move on against Lorain. Now, can Elyria hang with Lorain if they do? You know, I'm not sure. Lorain beat them by 37 in the Lorain County Holiday Classic, but you know, if Robinson and Rogers and then Will Waddle in their front court can somehow you know, keep Lorain at bay a little bit. Again, this is all hypothetical. I certainly expect Lorain to beat Berea Mid-Park. You know, that'll be a fun Lorain County matchup in a district semi for sure. On the bottom half, Indy, you know, I fully expect Olmsted Falls and Lakewood to advance to have yet another de facto Southwestern Conference championship game in a district semi.
Yeah, no question about that. Well, Joel, as always, my friend, we certainly appreciate the time. Thank you so much for stopping by and talking some high school hoops with us. Depending on how these brackets break down next week, my friend, we'll have to have you on again as well to talk about the outlook for the coming weeks here as well, as both of these teams can, or I should say all of these teams, continue their march forward. Joel, as always, man, thanks for the time.
Sounds good, guys. Talk to you soon.
All righty. Again, Joel Hammond with the Chronicle-Telegram talking high school hoops here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. We need to step aside and take a break. Coming up in just a minute, it's Your Money Now, and then Matt Douglas will tell us what's going on in the local news, and then Tim Alcorn will stop by here in studio to reflect on the Weed Pro Indians Radio Week presented by EcoTree Services. He'll